Hello, and welcome to the Weekly Comic Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics. One from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. This is Weekly Comics Spotlight 408 for comics originally released on June 3rd, 2015. Once again, we're recording this early. We only got some preview copies and stuff from a couple of publishers, so we're foregoing for a few weeks the Marvel, DC, other format, and we're just going with some comics that we actually got review copies of, which primarily means other publishers.
Other.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. We ought to give them a little bit more of a spotlight sometimes, and this was a good opportunity to do that. So, as we did last week, we're going through this in alphabetical order, both by publisher and by title. It's just funny how that worked out both times. Starting us off in Dark Horse this time around is Age of Reptiles, Ancient Egyptians, number one. Now, this is one that we picked because, well, frankly, it was, I don't say slim pickings, but we had limited options because we're recording early. This was a title, frankly, I had not even, I'm sure I heard about it, I'm sure I saw it in previews, but it never really registered on my radar, so to speak. I'm assuming you were in pretty much the same boat?
Yeah, I picked it because it was the number one. That was why I gravitated towards it, so.
I agreed because it was number one. This is interesting because this is a new miniseries for Age of Reptiles. There apparently have been ones in the past, which equally did not really register on my radar. And this is a multiple Eisner Award-winning series, which I think is awesome for them. That's great. It also shows how, even though I read a ton of comics, many things that are judged to be of high quality, i.e. award-winning, Eisner Award-winning even, properties still fail to hit my radar.
Yeah, or resonate with me, or connect with me. It's surprising.
I'm horrified that you said that. No, I'm kidding. I'm actually not the least bit surprised, because there was no dialogue in this entire issue.
Which is not, you know, a problem in and of itself, because we've had some really fun, completely silent issues, or semi-silent. The I Am Groot issue of Rocket Raccoon just had three words for the majority of it. I think there was a Batman that was all silent around the Requiem times, maybe.
There was a Batgirl one, if
also. A Batgirl that was pretty good.
So. The Hawkeye one that was brilliant.
Yeah. So it can work. It can definitely work. Now, in certain circumstances.
The circumstance here, though, that almost mandated no dialogue, is there are no sentient creatures to utter such dialogue in this book.
True.
Despite Age of Reptiles, Ancient Egyptians as the title, there are no ancient Egyptians.
Not a single one.
Reptiles, dinosaur-type stuff, fish, you know, whatever. And there are some people that may love 24 pages of prehistoric animal adventures. I apparently am not one of them. I've read some stuff. There was a digest series, GON, that came out of one of the DC imprints ages ago that conceptually very similar to this. Here's the adventure of a little, you know, dinosaur type guy, back, you know, in prehistoric era. He doesn't speak, you know, that kind of a deal. I loved it. This one just, I didn't connect with.
No. And I'm not even sure that just because it's a silent issue doesn't mean the story is being told well. I'm not sure that the story was that clear in places. I'm not even sure who the main character was.
I'm certain the story was not clear to me at all. If I go to the first page, okay, first panel is an establishing shot, then we, like, maybe zoom in, then we cut to, like, a tree that's fallen out or whatever, then we cut to another shot. It's like, I'm not following what's really going on. Is this supposed to introduce me to the lead character? Because if so, put him on screen.
You know, or is it just an introduction to the Age of Reptiles and the world, and nobody in particular is of note, I guess?
I took the character that's on the cover, the kind of crocodile with the big fin or whatever.
With the big fin along its back.
Yeah. And the scars along its face as the lead character. but I...
Did he make it to the end of the book, though?
The scars kind of go away, but I'm... Frankly, I'm not sure. There are actually, frankly, a lot of characters with scars. Apparently, it's a rough world. I don't know. If I had to give a synopsis to go beat by beat, you know, story beat and stuff, what happened here? I would have a really hard time doing that. No names to associate with the characters is part of it. Not knowing all the different types of animals is another part of it. And just frankly, not being clear exactly, much what was going on, but why I should care.
He did make it to the end.
But it was unclear to me because of the coloring and stuff.
And you're right, the scars come and go.
So, I mean, that matters in a story like this.
I think the art is an interesting style, too. It's a little bit reminiscent of Matt Kent in Mind Management, and it has that kind of a wavy style, kind of a shaky line to it, and that can be appealing for folks. And a lot of line work, really a lot of line work in this, so that can be appealing, and it also can be off-putting depending on your opinion of the art.
For me, it was off-putting because it made the art kind of busy. And there were a couple of places where, because of the coloring and some of that stuff, it just looked busy, and it was hard to pull out the detail because there was so much detail.
I guess also a little reminiscent of Where the Wild Things Are.
Haven't read that.
Book. Yeah, it's a children's book. You probably wouldn't have for a long time.
Not unless it was old enough for it to have been a children's book when I was a child, and in which case I probably just wouldn't remember it. Because that was many years ago. Again, this is one that I see the craftsmanship that goes into this.
Yeah.
I can see how somebody might really enjoy it.
It's a tough one to grade.
For me, not so much. I went with a C-. I couldn't really pull the story out of this. I couldn't really find any through line. I couldn't find anything that, for me personally, said, I really enjoyed this. I would continue if this happened or because of this reason.
I went straight middle of the road with a C. I don't feel strongly about that grade.
So you think it is an average comic, and you would put it up with other things that you have given a C rating to?
No, John. I guess there have been C comics that I've actually been a little more, I could recommend a little easier.
Like, say, Jupiter's Circle from about a month or two back.
Yeah, it's not as good as that.
If you want to stay with the C rating, though, that's perfectly fine. I'm not trying to talk you out of it.
No, but that's why I said I don't feel confident in that grade, because I just feel like maybe the artist is stronger for some folks than it is for me. But I guess I should just really grade it on my own enjoyment, like you did for Fight Club 2.
Mm-hmm.
And a week ago when we did that. When we did that episode.
So long ago.
It's hard to remember back that far. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not reading the next issue. I'm not recommending this to anybody. So that's not a C. That's a D. That's a D. I'm sorry, Dark Horse.
For me, the reason I went with a C- and not a D is I think this was competently done on a technical level. It was well done on a technical level. The line work as well. I mean, it has some flaws here and there.
Yeah.
But it's not like it's amateurish. But I certainly would be hard-pressed to recommend this to anybody unless they're looking for... I just want to see some you know, prehistoric, you know, animals walking around and you know, living a day in the life of.
Well, it's hard to say this is worth $4. I don't think this comic is worth $4. There's not enough story. There's just some renderings of dinosaurs. I don't know that that's a $4 comic.
For me, it's certainly not. This is one I had not pre-ordered. We're doing it because it was a PDF copy. I'm glad I gave it a shot.
We appreciate Dark Horse for letting us review this.
Well, again, Dark Horse, I didn't even really feel the need to email them because they are very proactive on their press emails and stuff like that. Aub, I think, does a great job over at Dark Horse getting the word out. And this is not a bad book. It's obviously highly regarded in many circles. It's a multiple Eisner Award-winning series. And I can see how it gets there, but it also is telling me and reminding me that the wavelength I am on and what I am interested in and Eisner Award-winning series doesn't have as much overlap as I'd like. Maybe I'm just not reading great stuff, but I'm reading what I'm entertained by. This did not entertain me, but again, I'm not saying it was poorly done or something like that. That to me is where it's hard to balance subjective reviewing and somewhat objective reviewing. I'm never going to be 100% objective or 100% subjective. To me, this is just so clearly indicative of I'm not the target audience. Whereas there are a couple of things that I've trying to remember the last thing I gave like a D rating to, because I don't do that often. And it's something to me that is just, I was surprised kind of that it got published.
Yeah.
Clarion, I think, was the last thing I would have given that kind of a rating to, or Trinity of Sin. Something where I think I am part of the target audience. I just thought it was really bad. So again, C minus for me. What are you going with your final,
final answer? A D.
Okay. And I hope other people enjoyed this a lot more than we did.
Yeah.
There's an audience out there for everything. And again, like I said, I think they did a good job. It's just the job they did isn't the job I wanted done. Shall we move on to our next book?
Yeah.
This is from Dynamite Entertainment. This is Justice Inc. The Avenger number 1. It is written by Mark Waid. We've got Ronaldson Freer.
Yeah.
We'll go with Freer. And if I got that wrong, Ronaldson, I'm sorry. I can get Mark Waid's name right. I'm very
confident in that pronunciation.
Reasonably confident. Reasonably. Not 100%, you know, but close enough. Are you familiar with The Avenger at all?
No, never read this.
He is a pulp character. My knowledge of the character really is from the first wave titles DC did a couple of years back. Beyond that, I really know next to nothing about the character. I enjoyed him enough in that series, that first wave stuff from DC a while back with Doc Savage and so forth. Since Dynamite now has the rights to the character, I had saw that this was coming out. This is one I have pre-ordered, based on the strength of it being Mark Waid.
Now, this the main cover, is that a kind of reminiscent of a DC 15-cent cover, or maybe a 10-cent cover with the round?
It's an old school DC style cover, yes.
Yeah, I guess I was trying to place the price point in the era of what, but I remember that styling. I think it was 15 cents, maybe 10,
maybe as high as 25.
Yeah, liked it though. I thought it was nice retro look.
Yeah, yeah, and just nice cover too.
Yeah,
this is one where I kind of need to be making a decision of, do I keep going with this? Do I not keep going with this? And it's a tough one to do because I like aspects of it. I dislike aspects of it. There are places here where I felt it was more of a illustrated story than a typical comic book. Lots of captions narrating the story with the art to kind of flesh it out. In other places, it was standard comic book, dialogue balloons, all that kind of a deal. It was a little wordy, but I didn't see that as a negative. I mean, Mark Waid writes good words. The art is what I would consider typical for Dynamite. Not that they have a house style, but it feels similar to art I would have expected to see in Green Hornet or some of their other books. And it may just be that Ronaldson has done some of those other books. Competent storytelling, well done by and large. But there are a few things in the story that just were ludicrous. The train. It's going off the rails. Everybody's got to get out. That escape from the train? Come on, you've got to be kidding me. That just doesn't make the least bit of sense. I'll buy that the Avenger, he's the lead character. He could do this kind of stuff. I'll grant you that. That's a freebie. But when you've got, and this is going to get a little spoilery, but what the hell, let's do this. Because this is going up after the thing's released on the stand, so it's not like we're spoiling it for people. We've got 6 people in a human chain that the guy is you know, grabbed onto a rock and is holding with his other arm all of that weight. Okay, I'm even willing to go maybe the Avengers super strong or something. But everybody else in that chain that's got 3 or 4 people below them, a typical person I don't think could do it. Even somebody who hangs around with an atypical person like the Avenger. So that one just stretched the believability point for me because they did nothing to set up this was believable other than just, hey, look what happened. I mean, could you see that happening in an action movie?
I mean, the one character is bear hugging the other. I can see that using both arms.
The one at the bottom.
The second to the last guy. That one looks like it might be tough, but he's only holding up one other person. I think the woman in the middle is the one who would have the most problem because she has one hand. She's kind of right there in the center. That I think she would be the one that's the most problematic. Well, I don't know what her power set is off the top of my head.
I don't know that she has a power set.
Yeah. She's just a woman. If strong woman even, would be very difficult, I would think, to do it the way she is, how's the grips on those hands.
Keep in mind, they all just dove out the window of the train.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to me, it's an isolated incident, whatever. Maybe it was the art, maybe it was the story, I don't know, it just, that part didn't really sell me. Some of the pages were heavy on captions versus dialogue, didn't totally sell me. But I enjoyed the character, the Doc Savage-ish aspects that of this pulp hero in Friends. Where it just about lost me entirely is when they kick through the door and we see that guy. And I'm like, okay, interesting visual. Kudos to the artist for pulling that mm-hmm. off.
Was that the ghost?
That was the translucent man, where you can see yeah. like his nervous yeah. system or whatnot. It's like, this is disgusting to me. Is this something that's going to be in every issue? Is it a one-time kind of a deal? Because if I'm going to be seeing stuff like that every issue, that's a little bit of a deal-breaker for me personally.
Well, I don't think the art is strong enough to where it's really that detailed.
It's less that it's detailed than distasteful to me.
Yeah. I did think this comic was a tale of two halves. I really liked the second half of this comic a lot better than the first half.
When they got back to the base or somewhere?
When they got back to the base and the old lady came to visit. I thought that was more interesting and felt a little more issue one to me than the first half.
Well, it's almost like that first half is like the opening of a James Bond film or MacGyver episode where it's kind of an opening gambit.
Yeah, and then they move I can see them the trying story. For that. Yeah, I can see them trying to do that, but I don't think it worked that well.
No, and I think the title page, when we got to it in the middle, I was expecting story elements versus opening credit type montage.
Yeah.
So I see what they were going for, but it didn't quite pull off for me where it needed to. And the ending was, in a certain respect, a very literal cliffhanger. So the issue didn't have as much payoff as I would have liked, but it did a good job setting up the Avenger and his team. So I'm really of two minds on this one.
Yeah. And I kind of felt the same way, but I just didn't think that the opening part of this comic worked very well as a first issue. And there was some good stuff, I think, in the second half, some interesting writing. It didn't feel to me like the artist and the writer were on the same page, though. I mean, I thought maybe he had to go back in and write more exposition and more copy onto the page because there wasn't enough interesting things happening artistically. I don't know if that's the case, but it felt like there was some kind of disconnect between the creative team. And so it just kind of came in not quite above average for me. So it's at a C-.
With a flat C being an average.
Yeah.
So, okay, a little below average is what you're saying.
A little below average.
Okay, that's fair. You know, I hadn't really thought about the possible disconnect there between the writer and the artist. I expect better out of Wade, and I'm kind of wondering if this had been done as part of the first wave stuff over at DC, again, different selection of artists they would have dealt with and stuff like that. Could somebody who synced up better with Wade have been able to pull this off better? And I would go with almost certainly yes. Not that I think... I mean, again, to me, this is on par with art for a Dynamite comic by and large. It's not people in some cases... I mean, it's funny. They've had some books that are just amazing to look at. Others that it's more journeyman kind of an artist. They tell the story. They do it well. But it's not one that I think, wow, this is great art. But also not one that's like, well, what the hell happened here? This one, I think it was just an artist on not necessarily the right book for him. I'd have to see what else this guy has done as an artist to really judge accurately on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what Wade is capable of. I'm going to go with a C+. I think this is a little bit better than average on the grounds that they cover a lot of stuff in this. They do good job setting up all the characters, a little of the interplay, a few things like that. Now, granted, a lot of that's through expository captions, which goes to your point of, was that part of the script or was that added later? And really, to know that, I'd have to see the original script. I could see it might have been there, it may not have. I don't know. It's a very interesting question. And like I said, I have not decided if I'm going to continue with this or not.
I don't think I am.
I can understand that. Yeah. We'll see if I do or not. Shall we move on to our last book of the week?
Yeah.
This is one that I'm really glad we were able to get a preview copy off of the Image website, because I've been curious about this for quite some time.
Years, in fact.
It is Non-Player number 2 from Image Comics. Now, people who are wondering, what is Non-Player? It is a series that was originally reviewed on Weekly Comics Spotlight 191 in April. Let's see, that was the shipping release of April 6th, 2011. That book, I thought, was just a really good one. It had excellent art, very good story. A few things were unclear, but I figured they'd get cleaned up. And at the time, I was a little worried because no future issues had been solicited. And it was a cool blend of science fiction and fantasy and augmented reality and some stuff like that. But again, concerned about lag time between issues because nothing had been solicited. But I gave it a 5 out of 5. Had a lot of promise. Now, here we are, a short 217 weeks later.
You did the math there. That's nice.
I did the math there. And suffice it to say, the long delay between issues killed the story momentum for me. The art, still very good. But, and maybe it's just, you know, nostalgia thinking, I thought it was better before. He mentioned having switched technologies for how he's doing some of the digital art, and that was part of it, maybe. But the story also picks up in a very different place than it left off, and only starts to kind of circle back to the what the first issue covered near the end of the issue. So I'd really, to give it a I don't want to say a fair reading, I think reading it when it comes out is fair, but to really kind of sync up the first and second issues better, I'd have to go dig up the first issue that came out a mere 217 weeks ago and reread both to see how well it stacks up back-to-back versus a, you know, say a presidential term sized gap in between.
Yeah, I ordered the first issue along with the second issue in the pre-ordered stage, and but I didn't read that first issue before this. And I don't know if it was on the review side or not, but I felt that because of the long layoff, he has to be cognizant of the fact that not a lot of folks will remember what was in that,
mm-hmm.
and that this should be a highly accessible issue 2, and that he should go over and above to make sure that it's a great on-ramp for folks.
Absolutely. Do you think he did that?
I do. I thought it was... pretty well done. And now it seems like he's doing everything. This Nate Simpson is doing everything here, because I don't see any other creator listed at all.
And that's part of why it took so long to get a second issue out. After the first one came out, he, I think, broke his arm or got hurt or something, and that put him out of commission for a while. Then his son was born, and then it's like, you know, he's...
Life not gets making... in the way.
Oh, yeah, life totally gets in the way. It's tough. You know, good and bad things happen that eat up your time. I totally understand that.
Are you surprised Image continued to publish the next issue?
No. Why would they turn down the $2,500 fee for putting the next one out there? He's got a movie deal already. He got that after the first one, so they can still say, hey, it's an Image comic if the movie ever comes out, which I don't know what status that is.
Oh, you did get a movie deal for it?
Yeah, after the first issue, which I thought was way premature. I mean, there's actually been time since the first issue for him not only to have gotten the movie deal, but in theory, the movie could have been completely produced, released, out on DVD and Blu-ray, and even now on a remainder sale kind of a thing, had it actually happened in a more typical-ish time frame.
Yeah, 4 years, sure.
I do think this was accessible, which is good, but the fact that it seemed to be coming at the story from a different angle and different characters helped with the accessibility, but also made it feel like the first issue, I don't want to say almost didn't matter, but kind of, sort of, yeah. I should go to the Image site and see if they put Non-Player number 1 up in the same week that they put the Non-Player number 2. I didn't even think to look for that when I pulled this down, because I don't know that their archives on their press site go back 4 years. But I'd like to reread the first issue. Again, the art was just beautiful.
Now, do you recall if the owner of the game, the creator of the game, and his chubby sidekick were main characters in the first issue?
I don't believe they were at all.
Okay.
Most of the first issue takes place in this virtual world that we get at the end, with a girl who's like a food delivery person. I forget if it was pizza or, you know, Chinese food or whatever.
Tamale? Is it the tamale girl?
Yeah. Was she actually in here at the end?
Yeah, she was at the end, and she was on the credits page at the beginning. Dana Stevens.
Right.
So twice that I saw.
Where is she at the end?
She's in the group of all those people that have deliveries. Remember all the
deliveries
at once? She was
one of them. I missed that entirely.
There was a large group of delivery people. And then I didn't... Now, is also another question. Is Queen Fendra the queen character that's drawn at the end on the floor? Is that the same as the chubby guy's fake girlfriend? Are they different? They look somewhat alike, but not...
I think they're different. I think that was the avatar of the delivery girl. But it's been 4 years.
But she has... Like, the living doll has a thing on her head, kind of like the queen.
Yeah, don't know.
So it's yeah. There's a few things like that where it's not entirely clear. But what I did like about it was this is an immersive world, a very immersive world, and and it felt like it could be, I don't know, like a Call of Duty or a World of Warcraft or something, or a Sims or something that people play a lot, and they're in that world and they play in there so much that they actually kind of prefer that world to the real world.
That was very much the vibe of the first issue.
And I got that sense. And this is a game played by, was it 1 billion people, 2 billion people, something like that?
Something like that.
So, you know, in today's context, you know, 4 years ago, this didn't exist to the extent it does now. But, you know, that's a Facebook number. You know, there's 2 billion people on Facebook now. So, you know, maybe you can kind of see that correlation or something. But only more of a virtual experience and a virtual world that they're living in. There were some really interesting things in here, and the characters, some of them were really kind of cool, and I liked the way they were portrayed, but I don't think I grasped the story, like what's really going on, what this is all about, but it was still fun to run around in here.
Yeah, that was kind of how I felt after the first issue, and how I feel here. It's a fun world. I like the world. I'm still lost on the story. You know, right. Where is it? Who are we following? Why should I care? Type stuff. If it wasn't something that was just fun to kind of, you know, fiddle about and see what's going on here. Again, nice art, entertaining issue, even if I'm not sure what the game plan is.
Yeah, this is like Alex and Ada does this a lot better. You know, it's in a very cool, immersive world, but there are characters that you know, care about, and follow, and you kind of, you definitely understand what's happening and what the big picture and where we're going and who's getting in the way. And you have some clear storytelling roles happening on the page.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is not to that degree of execution, but it's got pieces of that. I feel it's like a kid brother to Alex and Ada.
Certainly with this issue, I see a lot more similarities than I did with the first issue for a couple of reasons. One, Alex and Ada, just, you know, years in the future by then.
yeah, it was.
It's funny because with the time gap between issues, we're at a point now where technology has progressed enough just in those short years. People actually have virtual reality units and stuff. Hell, you could get Google Cardboard, take your smartphone, and do, you know, immersive type stuff there. So technology-wise, we're in a different place than we were. It's this issue, again, was disconnected enough from the first in some respects, but connected in others. But it had a different feel to it than the first. I was expecting from the first more of a science fiction, virtual reality, and augmented reality kind of providing that mechanism for the fantasy setting and a more of a blend of the sci-fi and the fantasy. Here, it was veering much more into the sci-fi with touch of fantasy at the end there. Given what you've seen so far, how far into the story do you think we are?
The beginning. The beginning of the story, I would think.
How long do you think the story would play out for then?
This feels like a really long, long series, doesn't it?
Fair enough. Would you then be surprised if I said, based on a Comic Book Resources article that went up maybe 2 months ago, a month or two back, that the creator said his goal is to release all 7 issues of Non-Player, i.e. Oh. It's a 7-issue series?
I mean, yeah. I
and we're 2 issues in?
I definitely can understand with his struggles to get the first two out that it's a short series. But from the way this reads, it feels like it's the beginning of a very large world with a lot of characters and moving parts, and it could go on. Oh, I just don't think this creator can pull it off.
Absolutely. I think it's a rich world. There's a lot of stuff to explore, and it could certainly go on longer than seven issues. No doubt about that. The other phrase I left off that sentence was goal is to release all seven issues of Non-Player by 2020.
Wow. That's
and,
crazy.
And was quoted as, I think there's a way for this comic to come out more than once a year, which would certainly be a vast improvement over the last one. Well, good. I think more than once a year, maybe even more than once every 4 years would be good. And the guy knows he's had horrible delays and stuff like that, so I don't want to give him a hard time for that. But as I said with the first issue, it would have been nice if he'd, you know, built up enough of a backlog that this sort of a delay just hadn't happened. But it's over, it's done with, he's had it. I do feel obligated to reread the first issue and second issue in a row and just see if that plays out better. But do I do that now? Do I wait till the third issue is solicited?
It's probably easier for you just to order another copy because it was a dollar issue. So with a DCBS discount, it's a 50-cent issue. That's probably easier for you than going to dig through your boxes and try to find it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
This came out a few months later than that Uncle Scrooge 400 we reviewed on that back issue spotlight.
Yeah.
So it could be accessible. It's just, do I want to take the trouble to dig through it, all the boxes?
Yeah. So, I mean, if this does sound interesting to you, the folks that are listening, I would definitely order, call up DCBS or go to your local shop and see if they can get one and two, because one was a dollar intro issue reissue. It was only a buck. And this is a $2.99 issue, and it's 32 pages, so it's a lot to read, a lot of good stuff in there. And then you'll have a really good sense then if you want to stick around for the next 4 to 6 years to finish this up.
The next five issues, however long that may take.
Yeah.
It could be, 6 months. It could be, in this case, the guy's projecting another 5 years.
Waiting for the trade really takes on a whole other meaning with this series.
Yeah, it does. When you
did I give it a grade?
No, you didn't. I haven't yet either. Okay. I'm going to go with a B+. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was as good as the first. But part of it, I think, for me was it was so different than I remember the first issue being. And the story it was telling seemed different.
Yeah, I gave it a B. I think it's a good book. Some flaws, definitely. But a really neat world. And it would be cool if you got a couple out a year.
I would like to see him get some traction on this and get it moving forward. I think there's a lot of potential. Like I said, I want to reread the two issues in a row. If you do that, either you, Drew, or any of the listeners, feel free to start up a thread on the forum for Non-Player. If you're going to include spoilers, use the spoiler tag, just so people know it's they can read it without having stuff spoiled. And be, conservative on that. Because this, again, may be the only new issue we get of this for the remainder of the decade. Hopefully it's not the case. Hopefully the guy's learned. He's got the timeliness down. Yeah, kind of crazy.
I guess when you do everything, it can take some time.
Well, again, he's not only doing everything, which in and of itself is a lot. He's having to work the deals behind the scenes for the movie rights or, just getting it published and all that stuff. He's got a young kid, so the whole family thing taken over. Again, he was hurt for a bit. That's good for a little bit of time off.
The kid's not as young anymore. Probably now in kindergarten.
or college. No, I'm kidding. But I think also part of it is it wasn't paying the rent, so he had to get a day job, and that really sucks time out of the schedule. So, I mean, that put him really kind of behind the eight ball on this. Plus, there was all the expectations. So, I think he did himself a massive disservice by releasing the first issue when he did. Mm-hmm. And I think Image did him a disservice by allowing him to release it when he did. I get that you've gotta make some money to keep the production stuff going, but it just it didn't work in this case. It was an epic failure in that respect. And for what could have, had it been released on a regular basis, those seven issues could have been out by the end of 2011. I think there would have been nothing stopping it from getting, provided the quality kept up, fast-tracked into a movie that we all would have enjoyed both the movie and its sequel or two of by now. It was a missed opportunity. Instead of this being what he is known for, just, wow, he's Nate Simpson of Non-Player. he's become almost something of a joke.
Yeah.
And that's really sad for somebody this talented to have that kind of a problem almost out of the gate with some early work. So hopefully, again, the timeliness gets better. The series, both the next five issues really pull together, and it's a fun, great read that's brilliant in trade.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's probably the 22nd by the time you're listening to this. So the online solicit should be up, and it won't be too long before the previews catalog is out. And
it's actually, time to send clips in. For this one, it'd be the 15th.
The 15th, I'm sorry.
But online solicit should be up. So everything you said, I think, still playing out. Online solicits should be up or coming up shortly on like Comic Book Resources and other places. As soon as I get back from my trip, I'll try to put up the information I did for the last preview spotlight of the consumer order form and the previews text file. The deadline for that previews is, let's go with June 28th.
June 28th.
Because that way people have the Sunday. It gives them an extra day, but that way I've got the chance to get it edited and put up before I head off to Comic-Con. And let's face it, the following weekend would be the 4th of July anyways. It's historically been a bad time for people to do clips. Then, you know, with the hot dogs, the fireworks, the whole national, you know, celebration and all that, you know. Celebrate your comics a week earlier. How about that?
Yeah.
After that, we should be getting back on the regular schedule for the preview spotlight. So
I'm sure turnout was great for the issue, for the episode that already went up. Haven't got a chance to listen to it yet, but
I haven't even had a chance to listen to it yet because we're recording way early. Last I looked at my email, still hadn't gotten any clips.
But I'm sure they're flooding in the next couple of days.
I'm certain they're flooding in the next couple of days. And even if they're not, people should use that as an excuse to redouble their efforts and send stuff in for the next previews that we're talking about here.
Because we don't want John to take his ball and go home. So
no, that would be sad.
We want to previews. The preview spotlight is a democracy, a meritocracy. We want to keep that going. Everybody
it's
can
certainly
be part of it.
Effort
definitely is. So we want to keep that going. And so yeah, let's look online. Those of us who are not on vacation, who are still working hard, will be on the forums posting links to various online solicits to help everybody out. So
that is one of the things I've really appreciated with the June previews and stuff is how many people have posted links and stuff like that on the forum.
Yeah, they've been doing a good job.
That's a huge help to me because as I've been recording these episodes early, I'm trying to do a few with my sister and stuff like that. I'm just kind of swamped as I'm getting ready for my trip and will be between getting back and getting ready for Comic-Con. But there's tons of great comics coming out. It really pays to pay attention to the solicits, to recommend stuff that you support so other people are aware of it, and to listen to these episodes to find out what you may have missed. I'm always finding out, oh man, I didn't order this in previews and I should have. Anything else? Does that pretty much do it?
That does it.
Cool.
Join us next week as we discuss Midnight Society, The Black Lake number 1 from Dark Horse Comics, Universe number 2 from PanelSyndicate.com, and Exo Manowar Valiant 25th Anniversary Special number 1 from Valiant.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.